let's do the thing.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Nick.
Welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff. Mike, I looked over the numbers for this podcast the other day.
Yes.
And I still can't get like a clear handle on how many downloads we're getting specifically. Like, it's still a weird number to try to figure out. But let me tell you what I have realized looking at the numbers, Mike.
What have you realized looking at the numbers, Chris?
They're going up.
They're going up. That's frightening.
Thanks for listening, everyone who is not Tarv, but also Tarv. But if you're not Tarv and you're listening, an extra special welcome.
I don't know why you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, Tarv has nothing better to do. He's in a hotel all night long. Poor guy.
It's not like we have anything better to do either.
I wonder if he ever, like, pauses the podcast and has conversations with us on the podcast to make it feel like he's not alone.
I have done that listening to podcasts before. I'll start, like, chiming in on the conversation and be like, oh, right, I'm not there. This was probably actually recorded months ago.
Yeah. Oh, right. These people don't know who I am. How have you been, Mike?
I am apparently a child abuser.
Yeah, I you know, when you sent the tweet last night, when I asked you if you're under record, you were like, I'll have stories. I was like, what the hell is he doing? I better check Mike's Twitter feed. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Mike the Baby Beater is on my podcast tonight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have that much of a story. Just for background, I got a job as like a janitor at a school, and they needed to run a background check to make sure that I was okay around children. And I got a letter yesterday saying that I was involved in a physical abuse case with a child in 2004. In a town I've never been to.
What town?
Hood River, Oregon.
That sounds like a pleasant place to live.
And I've been through it. It would cost, like, probably $20 to get the whole town carpeted. but, yeah, it was just mind-boggling to me that, because I wasn't even living in Oregon at the time, and in a town that I've never been to. So I figured that today I was just going to have, like, a fucking treat of calling the Hood River Courthouse, and then calling the Department of Education in Salem and going back and forth and being on hold for hours. But instead, I called up the lady and she was like, okay, I have a couple questions to ask you. Where were you living in 2004? Arizona. Were you married at the time? No, I've never been married. Do you have any children? No. Okay, this isn't you. I'll make a note of that and it won't be in your report. Like, well, that was easy.
Thanks.
So
why was it in my report to begin with, though?
Because my name, Mike Perry, is not a terribly uncommon name.
True.
And this guy's birthday was close to mine.
Close.
Close enough, she said, and I quote, close enough that we had to check. Not you share the same birthday. Your birthday was close enough. I'm like, why are you not cross-referencing my social security number or state ID number to things that I'm the only person who has, not a name or a birth date?
So it sounds like if you're going to beat kids, the town to do it in, Hood River, Oregon. Not that we support beating kids, but if your name's Mike Perry, though, don't do it. Mike's got enough trouble getting jobs. Well, I mean, he's got the job now. I guess who cares?
But now I'm wondering, because I was like, after I had already done the interview and signed off on the background check for the Disney store a couple months ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And didn't get that job. It's like, I'm wondering if this son of a bitch in Hood River cost me that gig.
I wonder if there's somebody else you should call them. Because it's, first off, having worked at 911 and whatnot for a few months, it's fucking insane that they aren't doing that search by your fucking social or state ID number or anything.
It's a state-run organization.
Yeah, that fucking floors me.
It's like, why would you go off my name and when I call in to say, hey, I have a complaint about the report that you're doing, they're like, what's your name? I give them my name. What's your birth date? I give them that. Oh, she sent the letter. Let me direct you to her. It's like, why the fuck is that?
Why is
my identifier?
Especially since, obviously, I mean, the one, they mixed it up with you. And two, the fact that they kind of went so nonchalantly about, we'll just fix it, that tells me this is not the first time that has happened.
No, my mom told me that her boss got like a warrant for his arrest in New Jersey.
What?
Because of unpaid parking tickets, when the guy that they thought that he was, that they share the same name, was like 30 years older. Like, they were born on the same day, but 30 years apart. And so they put it on his record that he owed these parking tickets when it was just another guy with the same name and birthday.
Crazy.
This is your government, people.
Yeah. Let's not get on that hot topic this week. Goddamn.
These are your elected fucking officials.
I don't have any exciting stories like that. I mean, my friend Josh, he ran his credit check a few years ago and found out he owned a house in Arizona he didn't know about.
That's awesome.
He was like, I'm going to have to just call and get this corrected and taken off and call the cops. I'm like, no, you need to show up that fucking house, tell those people to move out. You own the fucking place.
This place is in my name. I'm taking over.
You own the house. I'm like, I'll move to Arizona. No, I wouldn't. Mike, would you move back to Arizona?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't mind it right now, though. As cold as it's been here, it's like it'd be pretty mild in Arizona right now, but
it's getting back up into like 60s and 70s here. It's fucking painful. Like, we were in like the 30s for 2 weeks, down to the mid 20s overnight. Now it's up to like 70 during the day. I'm like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Can it just be fucking winter?
No, it's please. That, it's that climate change that doesn't exist.
Climate change isn't a thing. Don't forget.
No, it's just weather patterns. They do this all the time, which is why no one's experienced this before.
And I mean, it looks like starting Monday, it's going to get down to like the 30s overnight, but it's going to rain for 5 days straight before then.
Yeah.
Everything is shit.
So, yeah, I was thinking that we would have much more to talk about regarding identity theft issues, but...
And you fucked it up, didn't you, Mike?
I didn't fuck it up. Thankfully, my state didn't fuck it up. I'm glad that I don't have a story to tell, because that means that I didn't have an awful fucking day.
It's a double-edged sword, because now you're like, man, I'm glad it's over with. But on the other hand, you're like, man, I thought I could top Chris's 10 hours in a Pep Boys story.
Except now, thanks, state of Oregon, I have got a small tree's worth of paperwork that they sent me about the lawsuit and... Apparently, I could get it expunged from my record if I took, like, anger management courses and family planning courses.
What? How about you just, like, call them and be like, take it off my record, that wasn't me.
Well, no, if I was the guy, that's the way that I could get eligibility to work around children, is if I could prove that I've taken a class where I no longer am a child abuser. But yeah, I've got, like, all these paperwork about... this shit that doesn't even pertain to me anymore. So, thanks for that. You could have just sent me an email, bastards.
You can write notes on them.
I don't want to motherfuck them too hard. They might find this and listen. The paperwork isn't finished yet, so...
If you're listening, state of Oregon, welcome.
Big fan.
I've considered moving out there before. Just haven't made it yet, Oregon.
Do it.
Don't do it?
Do it. This place is a fucking dump. Don't move out here.
Oh, my God. Mike, it was comic book news day today, man.
Comic book news day?
It was comic book movie news day today, more specifically.
I saw Benedict Cumberbatch.
Hang on. Where is it? I had a whole list of funny names for Benedict Cumberbatch. I was like, this will be great for the podcast. Yes, Beelzebub Stinky Rash has been cast as Doctor Strange. Confirmed. They had said a few months ago he was on the short list, but it was officially confirmed today that in 2016, Bandicoot Humperdinck will be playing Dr. Stephen Strange in the adaptation of any number of...
I'm going to use his sound name like fucking Eddie Izzard when he's talking about Engelbert Humperdinck.
Look, I'm a big fan of Billiard Ball Cabbage Patch, okay?
But yeah, I saw you say something about how it's like that was sort of expected casting, so it's not like super exciting news.
I really enjoy him. I think Tiddlywomp Cumbersnatch is a really great actor, and I enjoy his work. I really do. But it's just so on the nose that I can't get excited. Are you just sitting over there chuckling at the names now?
Yes.
You want another one?
Go for it.
Blubberbutt Talisman. just gonna bookmark this for the production of Doctor Strange in this podcast.
Although I never knew that Doctor Strange was actually a gray alien.
That's no way to talk about. That's a bad one. Boiler dang collywog.
God, that was not
nope.
That was not funny enough for this podcast.
Yeah, it's just so on the nose and kind of like it's like I said on Twitter, it's not boring in the sense of, well, Doctor Strange is going to be a dull turd of a movie. It's boring in the sense of, oh yeah, him.
It's kind of like how I felt when Patrick Stewart was announced as Professor X. It's like, well, who the fuck else, really?
Yeah. Well, duh. No, I'm sure he'll be great. I think it's really good casting, and I think with a really strong script behind it, that could potentially be the next, like, big moneymaker for Marvel. That could be the next Dark Horse, you know?
Really? Doctor Strange?
I think so. There's a lot of, like, really untapped potential with that character. It's got that really great kind of mystic feel to it, and it's a story of basically redemption and acceptance of one's limits. That'd be good. It'll be interesting.
Doctor Strange has always kind of felt like a second stringer to me.
He's
not really. He's not your Iron Man or Captain America or Spider-Man. He's.
You gotta remember, though, before Iron Man came out, all of these characters were second stringers to Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people remember that before the Iron Man movie came out, the biggest hype Iron Man got was Warren Ellis wrote him, did the Extremis arc, and before that it was always kind of like, hey, look, it's Iron Man.
Well, he had his own cartoon show.
He had his own cartoon show, yeah, but, I mean, eh.
It's more than Doctor Strange ever got.
Well,
I don't even think Doctor Strange guest starred in Spider-Man, which every fucking Marvel character guest starred in Spider-Man.
I feel like he was. There was always talk of doing a Doctor Strange cartoon, but given that a lot of his story deals with, you know, mystic hoodoos and demons, it's, you know, Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, I saw the animated one that Lionsgate put out. That was not a good movie.
Are you really going to base the quality of the character on a Lionsgate animated movie?
No, I'm just saying that was not
that
a
Iron,
good movie. The Iron Man one was shit, too.
Yeah, the Iron Man one is still the biggest fucking boomerang. I've tried to get rid of that movie for almost a decade now, and everybody's like, no.
Yeah, that movie where he's laying dead in the desert, wakes up, goes home, and has an army of Iron Man suits. I've just been building these for years, and I've never had a reason to use them until now.
I think this is a really great idea. No.
It's got this miles-deep basement of just Iron Man suits.
Just Iron Man suits. What a bad movie that was.
Why did you make this really, really big one? Well, I thought maybe one day a giant green monster would come and I'd have to beat him up, so I made a really big Iron Man suit.
But yeah, I think it'll be good. I'm excited to see Snorkel Dink Cunning Snatch take on the role. We'll see how it goes. They also, they've got a new director for Ninja Turtles 2 today.
Oh wow, that's already a thing?
Yeah, oh, dude, even though the first movie was kind of critically meh.
It wasn't bad!
It wasn't bad. You and I both said that. It wasn't good, but it wasn't. There was a lot of things it got right, and there were a lot of things that Michael Bay clearly had an influence on.
Mostly the designs. Even though some of the designs, like Leonardo and Raphael, did not look bad. No. Michelangelo, they didn't look bad when they were in motion.
No, there was
Donatello
just
looked like shit when he was moving.
Yeah, there was just too much. There was too much clutter. So when they weren't like moving or fighting, they just looked too busy and it was distracting. Really, I think still my only like legitimate beef with the movie was the fact that the day was saved by April O'Neil.
See, I didn't have a problem with that because of kind of how they treated April, in that she wasn't already this established like. Top end reporter. She was doing the local fluff pieces, and it's like she's still trying to find herself, and then it's like that gave her a moment. So it's like in that version of April, it was good that she got the hero moment at the end.
Yeah. So things like that, and then I think I mentioned it in the podcast where we talked about the movie when you hadn't seen it. The whole deal, April gave them their names and knew them before they were. Blah, 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 blah. That's a little forced, I thought. But. Not a bad movie. Not as
not
bad
the first
as everyone.
Time they did that in other countries,
no.
though, either. So.
No, but it's even then, I'm like, eh.
Eh. Eh. I know, it's not the Splinter named them and all that bullshit that you grew up with and Michael Bay.
Do we at least agree that Splinter being like, oh, a book on ninjutsu, I know what I'm going to do?
Yes. What's this? I'm gonna have to train these turtles how to do this shit.
Like, that just lends itself to those conversations like, what if Splinter had found a book on, like, I don't know, fashion design? Teenage Mutant Make It Work, Turtles.
Then we would not have a Donatello wearing a Nintendo on his back.
He'd have a sewing machine. Lots of scenes of, like, Donatello on all fours and, like, Leonardo frantically trying to stitch something together. New director, same writers. Take that how you will.
For what it was, didn't hate it. Of course, I'm one of the few that didn't hate Transformers either. So, I don't have the hatred for Bay that the whole fucking internet seems to have. I
really enjoyed the first Transformers, but the older it gets, the less I enjoy it. And I never watched any of the sequels, so.
I did. I haven't seen the fourth one yet.
Now, you say you don't hate Transformers. Does that mean you don't hate all three of them? Or does that mean you don't hate the first one?
I don't hate the first one. I actually still really like the first one. The second one, I've had conversations about. I remember it better than a lot of people do. I haven't seen it since I watched it.
Right.
But I think it gets kind of a bad rap. Because it was done, like, during the writer's strike. And so I think that, like, they didn't have a whole script done. And so for what they delivered, I didn't hate it. The third one was a fucking turd. I don't want to see a bunch of robots chatting for 3 hours. And I haven't seen the fourth one yet.
You didn't see the Mark Wahlberg epic?
Mm-mm.
I think we found the Transformer.
But someone made the point that it's like they see this the poster of Optimus Prime riding a Tyrannosaurus and they're like, oh fuck, look at what they're doing to this movie. Meanwhile, a 14-year-old kid walks by and goes, holy shit, the fucking robot's riding a robot dinosaur. It's like, that's who the audience is. The audience is not us.
Yeah, nobody's allowed to have fun anymore. That's why you saw me say that about the Jurassic World trailer, right?
Mm-mm.
There's like a scene at the end where it's like Chris Pratt on a motorcycle riding through a field surrounded by raptors.
Yes.
And I'm like, I know I'm supposed to be like, oh, the CGI looks like shit compared to the original puppets. But I'm like, fucking hell, guys. Jurassic World.
Only thing about that, though, that just I cannot keep from rolling my eyes at is this fucking, like, Velociraptor Rex that they've somehow manufactured. We've made a new dinosaur because there's not enough dinosaurs that aren't scary as fuck as they are. We needed to create a new one.
You gotta remember, the theme of Jurassic Park is always old white guy makes a really poor decision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm like, guys, Star-Lord is on a motorcycle driving through a field with velociraptors. Can we not just get excited for something stupid?
And I was also disappointed they're at the park. Because of how 3 ended with the pterodactyls getting out and the little like teaser trailer for the director who was like, I want to make another Jurassic Park movie where it had the pterodactyl snatch the surfer guy up.
Yeah.
It's like, I was hoping that it would be like the dinosaurs got out into the world.
Didn't Jurassic Park 3 do just fucking terribly?
Oh, it did. Yeah. But I mean, continuity.
I kind of wonder if it's going to be that kind of, we're going to ignore this. Kind of thing.
Jurassic like Park one. Happened. Lost World, three didn't happen.
That's kind of. I feel it's gonna be one of those things where it's like they're not going to outright be like, yeah, those movies didn't happen, but they're not gonna like rush and be like, well, here's the callback to Jurassic Park 3.
But still, it's like I was hoping that we'd have dinosaurs in the real world and people having to cohabitate with them in some manner. But now they're back on the fucking island, and now the park's working for some reason until Velociraptor Rex gets out.
Yeah. I imagine what'll wind up happening is Lost World may be kind of nodded to, and Jurassic Park 3 will be wholesalely ignored for the most part. And this will be kind of treated as a soft reboot, if anything.
I'm so fucking sick of soft reboots.
Somebody did post, like, the screenshot of, or the scene from Jurassic Park where, Alan Grant is talking to the kid about the velociraptors at the dig site.
Mm-hmm.
And then they posted a picture of Chris Pratt from the movie and they were like, what if?
Chris Pratt is that fat little kid
from
the first movie?
I'm like, okay, sure, why not? Fuck it, that could be your callback. The new Terminator trailer hit today too. Did you see it?
I have not seen that yet.
It looks like the most convoluted piece of shit.
Isn't this also supposed to be a weird kind of sideways reboot where...
Yes. So it's like
the Terminator goes back to save Sarah Connor before the events of the first Terminator movie.
Well, what it is, it starts with them in the future with John Connor and this guy who is not Kyle Reese. Oh, no, he is Kyle Reese. I must have just misheard his name in the trailer. So they send him back in time to save Sarah Connor from the Terminator. And when he shows up, Sarah Connor promptly saves him from a T-1000. And Sarah says, yeah, you were supposed to come back and save me, but there was another guy who showed up earlier, and we already took care of him, and your future doesn't exist anymore. And Arnold's Terminator came back before he did and killed, like, a younger version of it. It looks like the most convoluted piece of shit I can imagine.
We made a new movie that completely undoes the first movie.
Like, you know me, I can keep up with the most confusing time travel lore you can think of, and I'm sitting here like, what in the fuck is... What?
You've been able to explain X-Men to me.
I've explained X-Men to you on at least two separate occasions, and I'm sure that those won't be the last two occasions.
Nope.
I'm sure there will be one week in the future where we have nothing to talk about, and you just go, so what are the X-Men up to? And then you just hear, like, my fucking head explode.
I'm gonna eat something a little too spicy for dinner. And, hey, Chris, how about you talk about X-Men for a minute, and I'm just going to disappear.
As long as you don't take the microphone with you or anything. No, this time next year, the X-Men will still be dealing with the fallout from the tragic death of Wolverine.
Wait, when does Apocalypse come out? Oh, I guess Wolverine's probably not going to be in that, is he? Well, fuck, I don't know. Maybe he will be.
Shrug. Who knows? I think that's really it as far as, like, random comic book movies. I mean, they found their, They're Jessica Jones for the upcoming Jessica Jones and Luke Cage in the Defenders series. Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter, I know that name.
She was, where's her list of things she did? I know it's right. She was on Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23, and she was Jesse's girlfriend on Breaking Bad. Yeah,
I know her. She's gonna play Jessica Jones, really.
Yeah, be interesting. They're kind of, Marvel is kind of at this point with their casting where, whoever the weird ass out of the blue person they cast, I'm just like, you know what, you've done pretty good so far, I'm just gonna go with it.
Yeah.
Mike Coulter is on the short list to play Luke Cage. You know who Mike Coulter is?
No.
Of course you don't. he's done mainly smaller stuff. What you would probably know him best from, did you see Men in Black 3?
Yes.
He was the colonel that was revealed to be Jay's dad.
Okay.
So it looks like for the Netflix movies, they're kind of going against tradition, and for the actual heroes, they're casting relative unknowns. No other villains have been announced, but they've got Vincent D'Onofrio playing the Kingpin. So I'm wondering if maybe they're going to try to do the kind of Superman casting where you get some unknowns in your leads, and then you cast big name actors for your villains, let them play off each other.
Yeah. See, I don't know if with DC characters, Batman especially, the villains have always been the draw for me.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of rather that, like, a name plays the villain while some unknown plays the hero.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the other, like, random comic book thing we have to mention real quick. I got so tied up in the news of Bandersnatch Upper Class being Doctor Strange.
Yeah, to get another one in there. But no, with Marvel, though, I'm reverse.
Yeah.
I don't really care much about the villains. Most of them, anyway. But I really like the hero characters.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I like the idea of casting unknowns for that. But like you said, they've done so fucking good with everything else. Why not? Just have fun, Marvel.
I'm sure you remember before the Avengers came out, every single one of those casting decisions was like, that is the stupid. That's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's just been like, oh, God, they're really good at this.
Especially Chris Evans as Captain America. It's like, he played Johnny Storm. He can't be Captain America.
I remember seeing him and Chris Hemsworth at an award show, and I'm like, Captain America is like 2 feet taller, 2 feet shorter than Thor. This isn't going to work. They made it work. They've done a good job so far. But over at DC, the land of here's 20 movies we're going to make, yeah. We promise... the Suicide Squad casting was announced.
DC is doing what Marvel did 10 years ago. Here's a list of movies that we will make, maybe, kind of, sort of, if you're still looking.
Now, again, much as I've griped about the upcoming Flash movie and about the possibility of a Green Arrow movie or appearance or whatnot, these two characters with these two incredibly popular established TV shows that they could use and finally, like, beat Marvel to the punch on something and having their TV and movie universes combined into one big coagulated effort. The Suicide Squad also appears on Arrow and is already established. So here's your cast for Suicide Squad. I don't expect you'll know any of these actors or villains except for two of them. So Cara Delevingne?
Nope.
Is the Enchantress?
Don't even know who the fucking character is.
Yep. Jay Courtney is Captain Boomerang.
Oh, right, no.
And Jay Courtney, oddly enough, is he's Kyle Reese in that Terminator movie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
I saw that one already.
That was the one they announced about a month ago.
Right.
Tom Hardy, who was Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, mm-hmm. is playing Rick Flag. I'm not even 100% sure who Rick Flag is.
Well, he's the Nature Boy. He's like 16-time world champion.
No, that's Rice Flair.
Richard Fleer.
Richard Fleer. Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yeah, you discussed that one before.
And this is the one where I said this is the stuntiest stunt casting they could have ever done for this movie. You're familiar with Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think would be a good Deadshot?
Wait, Mike? Will Smith?
Will fucking Smith!
I went to the IMDb. Hold on.
Stunt casting like you wouldn't believe. And again, this also leads to the kind of Captain America Iron Man problem with there's no way in hell that character is going to wear a mask at any point in the movie now.
Yeah.
I mean, by putting Will Smith in the movie, first off, scream stunt casting and trying to get people who wouldn't give a shit about the movie to show up. But, I mean, also, there's like a ton of your budget gone right there because you just got Will fucking Smith.
I don't know who any of these people are, but Will Smith.
Yeah, and then Jared Leto is the Joker in this. Number one, it doesn't belong in the Suicide Squad. It's a terrible idea. Number two, I mean, the only upside to this is they're getting it out of the way because no matter who they cast as the Joker is going to fall flat on his fucking ass the second they walk out and everybody goes, Heath Ledger was better.
Yeah. Well,
the next guy,
was going to happen with Heath Ledger when everyone's like, Jack Nicholson.
For a lot of people, it did. But Jack Nicholson is still alive.
And Cesar that Romero. Is the... This guy doesn't even have a mustache.
I bet Jared Leto's going to shave his fucking beard like a goddamn noob. Yeah. God, why can't he act?
Real actors wouldn't shave their beards for a fucking Joker.
I don't have a lot of hope in the Suicide Squad. There's also talk they're trying to cast Amanda Waller for the movie. Are you familiar with Amanda Waller?
You are naming every actor that I don't know. I'm feeling like Matt right now.
No. Amanda Waller, the character.
No.
She is the woman who is in charge of the Suicide Squad. She runs the government organization that sends them out on missions.
Oprah Winfrey wanted for Amanda Waller role in Suicide Squad.
No way in that hell!
That is the first headline that comes up when I type Amanda Waller.
It's, I don't have a lot of faith in the Suicide Squad, Mike. Given, there's a lot of potential here for, like, a really good... There's been a lot of good Suicide Squad stories over the years, but I'm looking at this and I'm just like, this is gonna suck. I don't have quite the same faith in Marvel, or in DC, that I do in Marvel.
Yeah. Eh. I'll probably ignore it like I did the Superman movies that just came out.
Yeah.
And we'll probably ignore the Justice League.
How can you ignore the Justice League with Cyborg?
Really? Because I don't give half a fuck about DC. I don't give half a fuck about Marvel except for their movies right now.
I mean, you just said you care more about DC's villains than their superheroes. They made a movie comprised entirely of villains, and you're like, I don't give a shit about any of these characters.
But the only villain in here that I know is Joker and Harley Quinn. Well, I guess and Lex Luthor, but fuck.
I mean, Lex Luthor's not even confirmed to show up in the movie. That's just a rumor. You can always pretend Tom Hardy is Bane, I guess.
So yes, they did a whole thing of DC villains that I don't know or care about, except for two. They're from fucking Batman, so...
Yeah. They should have cast Matt Damon as the Joker and had him show up in a Ben Affleck Batman movie. And we could finally get Batfleck versus, I don't know what you would call Matt Damon's Joker.
There's no real cross there. Matt Doker? No.
Matt... That sounds like a terrible... Jesus. Anyways. So yeah, that's your superhero movies for the next 25 goddamn years.
We'll see.
We'll see. The only movie I expect to happen is Doctor Strange.
Well, I'm betting that they'll still do the Justice League movies.
I would love nothing more. Like, I would not laugh. Nothing would make me laugh harder than if Batman versus Superman tanked so fucking hard that DC was like, nope, never mind.
They just canceled their entire slate of superhero movies.
Just, like, yanked all those off the slate.
Wait, no one saw this? What? Okay, I guess no.
How much money do we have to throw at Christopher Nolan to get him back? What about Michael Keaton? We'll even take Michael Keaton at this point. Val Kilmer? Clooney? Go away, Adam West.
Just the whole of the DC movies offices is banging down Avi Arad's door going, how do you do it? Teach us your secrets.
We've got to get Robert Downey Jr. Clearly he is the glue. I guess since you can't get Robert Downey Jr., the next best thing to do is you gotta cast Mel Gibson as Batman.
God.
I'm kidding. Please don't do that. Please nobody do that.
All I want is a crazy racist Batman. I guess it wouldn't be any different than anything Frank Miller's written, so.
There you go. DC's got such a hard-on to adapt The Dark Knight Returns.
Just get the craziest racist actor from Hollywood and just get him to play Batman. Don't even tell him that he's in a Batman movie. Just let him go. If you put the suit in the room with him, he'll put it on eventually. Don't worry. He'll see it enough that he'll want to put it on.
It's like a two-hour movie of Mel Gibson in a Batman costume beating up random people and ranting about the Jewish. It's like Bat Hitler. I would be more prone to pay admission to that than I would to the Suicide Squad. I'm not going to lie to you. And that sounds terrible of me.
So, Joker, you think the Holocaust happened? I'll show you.
Oh. That one left me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Hey, I'm not the one denying the Holocaust. I'm
the
not
Joker,
crazy Mel Gibson.
Bat-Mel is. The weirdest part is the scene of Batman sitting on the beach in full costume eating dog biscuits. It's a little Lethal Weapon humor for the kids out there.
Yeah, the last Lethal Weapon movie was, what, 15 years ago?
Shut the fuck up.
15? When was the last Lethal Weapon movie, Chris?
Let me see here. I believe it was 1992 when they made Lethal Weapon 3, because they sure didn't make another Lethal Weapon after Lethal Weapon 3. Nope.
98?
Nope, never happened. That was, nope. There were only three Lethal Weapons, and there was only one Highlander. I don't know what you're talking about, Mike.
I'm not good enough to do this math in my head. Yeah, it's 17 years since the last Lethal Weapon movie, Chris.
I don't know what you're talking about. 98 was not the last Lethal Weapon movie, Mike.
Well, then it's been 25 years since the last Lethal Weapon movie.
Yep.
So feel even older, Chris.
I didn't see any of them until 2002, so 2000-ish? I can't remember. I saw them a few times several years ago, and not once since. It's like, those were really funny, good movies. I'm going to now go about my life never watching them again. I think the last time I felt inspired to watch them was when Mel Gibson went off his rocker, and I was like, man, what happened to Riggs?
He's gotten too old for everyone's shit.
You know, when they put Jesus on that cross, he was 2 days away from retirement. Mike, did you listen to, as I try desperately to just take this conversation in any other direction?
Speaking of Jews, have you heard Colt Cabana's podcast? Is that what you're trying to say, Chris? You awful human. You awful person.
I would go see a Lethal Weapon remake with Colt Cabana and CM Punk, actually. That would be a really good movie, I think.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Who plays who? Who's Riggs? Punk, who's Murtaugh?
Punk? Oh, Punk is Riggs. Punk is Riggs, Colt is Murtaugh. Oh my god, yes. It's fucking genius.
Villain is some South African staph infection.
Oh my god, no, you get, oh god. I'm trying to think of the name. I don't know who. I know that, like, the Asian guy that tortures Riggs at the end, that's Yoshitatsu. Then I guess you could get maybe, I don't know, you should have Punk have, like, a big, like, fucking...
Dude, is Triple H playing Mr. Joshua?
No, for Mr. Joshua, because Joshua was Busey's character, right?
Yeah. Do we just get Gary Busey to do it again?
I was gonna say, you just really piss off the wrestling fans for Punk's big, like, martial arts fight. You put, like, Great Khali or somebody in there. Oh. No, you just get Busey again. Why not? He's still crazy.
You're gonna have to catch him before he gets on that flight to Mars.
Oh,
I think we've only got like 10 years left.
Just imagine Punk doing the interview. Today we're filming the scene where Colt's on the shitter and there's a bomb underneath it.
Meanwhile, Gary Busey's running around the background going, "Yeah,
I was on fire." This scene right here, Mick Foley finds out his, or Colt Cabana finds out his daughter, played by Noelle Foley, is doing condom commercials.
You've only seen Lethal Weapon 2, haven't you?
I've seen
all references from 2.
Well, there's not really a lot in Lethal Weapon 1 that you can make funny. Lethal Weapon was like the serious one, almost. It was still funny at times, but I would make this movie. We need to make this happen. We need to sign Punk and Cabana and Kali and Gary Busey and Yoshitatsu and remake Lethal Weapon.
Our remake is just highlights from the first two movies. There's no story really stringing them together. It's just...
to save money, we just like superimpose Punk and Cabana over Gibson and Glover. Oh my god. So Punk did his podcast with Colt Cabana. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks straight. Did you listen to part two?
I did. I was expecting more, but
I was kind of disappointed they didn't answer any questions, but I understand why they didn't. I explained to somebody, because there's like on Fan this morning, it was 75 pages. I think now it's closer to like 80. They started the thread last week when the podcast went up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at like it's 77 pages now. Somebody was like, why didn't they answer any questions? And I was like, look, we're kind of an intelligent bunch on this fan or on this forum. We're not all assholes. I was like, but if you go through this thread, there's 75 pages where half of us are like, Punk's a fucking asshole and a quitter or a quieter, whatever. Nobody fucking likes him and blah, blah, blah. He's shit and you shouldn't love him. And the other half are like, Punk's fucking awesome. You should worship the ground he walks on. And I'm like, now take those responses, multiply them by 10,000 and add in the common denominator of everyone else on the internet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have answered a question either.
Well, when they explain at the beginning that not only did the special email address that they set up crash, but then Colt's personal email crashed and his Facebook page died.
Oh, they got the podcast working again Wednesday night and like a couple hours later just crashed again already. Like, wow. I have listened to both podcasts, but I had to listen to them both on YouTube because like you can't get them anywhere. I'm sure as hell not opening iTunes up to download that. Fuck iTunes.
Well, they also they put all of the Art of Wrestling podcasts onto a different server now, so that in case it broke, it wouldn't tear down Colt's entire website. And when they did that, my iTunes decided it needed to re-download every single podcast.
I saw a lot of people were like, "So, did anybody else's iPhone download the entirety of Art of Wrestling?"
Yeah. So I got to spend about 3 hours downloading 200 podcasts yesterday.
Yeah. So let's see here. I think if I remember, where's the blah blah blah? I was trying to find the thing I had pulled up earlier that had the highlights from the first. Here's the big highlights. Fuck the WWE. Especially the staph infection thing. I thought it was pretty impressive to hear how the concussion test works, and him being like, "So the concussion test doesn't do shit."
Yeah, they do the test. He passes the test with a concussion, and then they tell him to go run the ropes because they think he might still have a concussion. It's like, well, then what's the fucking point of the test?
I did love the Rumble story though, where he's like, "I roll over to the ropes, and I'm like, Doc, I had a concussion." He's like, "What do you want me to do?" Like, "You are fucking worthless."
I went back after listening to the podcast and watched that Royal Rumble, and you can see the bit.
Can you?
It's right after, like he says, right after Kofi does his little roll in and clothesline. And yeah, Punk lays down and he goes, like, there's the hard camera side.
Yeah.
And he comes, like, closest to us on the left. And
I remember thinking when I was watching it, boy, he's been laying under that rope for a long time.
Yeah, he scooches over to that corner and you see him talking to what looks like a referee. I guess they just have the doctor out there dressed as a ref because why the fuck not? And yeah, you see them chatting for a bit and then Punk kind of rolls back over and gets back into the match. And I can only imagine that's the conversation right there.
Oh, my God. There was also the bit about Punk being fired on his wedding day, which Vince McMahon then in his interview said that was a coincidence, and Punk was immediately like, "The fuck it was." The Vince McMahon interview podcast thing too, notable for Vince McMahon burying the entire goddamn locker room.
Oh no, shit!
Oh my god! Like, I told everybody, I was like,
back in your day, Steve, people had passion and wanted to better themselves. No one in this locker room has that. Fuck.
Oh my God. I remember the morning before, and we're all talking about the fucking podcast, and everybody's like, what's Steve Austin gonna ask about Vince? I'm like, if you fucking think Vince McMahon is going to be asked or answered anything other than a PR sanitized question about that, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that it'd be like, Vince, what do you want to say about CM Punk? And he'd be like, eh, I can't talk about that because of legal reasons. And that'd be that.
Of course, like, going into that, you knew Steve Austin wasn't going to sugarcoat any of the questions, but you also know that Vince is a master bullshit artist.
I finally stopped watching that podcast about halfway through, because I was like, this is just Vince McMahon giving bullshit answers. Bullshit non-answers, even, for an hour and a half.
Then you quit right before he started to loosen up. It did get better towards the end.
Did it?
Uh-huh.
I'll have to go back and finish it at some point. Between that and Vince's whole, everybody in the locker room right now is fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Goddamn, Vince, man.
But the thing that really pissed me off about that was that he's saying that people need to step up and go for the brass ring, and he doesn't make or break people, it's the audience, he listens to them. And then Steve Austin's like, what about Cesaro? He was hot as shit right after WrestleMania, and then you paired him with Heyman, and now he's doing jobs. And I don't have all the answers, Steve. It's like, because you fucking buried him.
Yeah.
Like, don't try to lie and say that you don't have 100% control of what goes on your show like this.
Yeah. I've made the joke numerous times. Zack Ryder really worked hard and reached that brass ring, and he made it to the main event, and they gave him a sustained push right off the ramp in a wheelchair. I mean, they have those superstars who have done that. They've made that push, and they've got the fans behind them, and they've made that name for themselves, and look how it ended up for them. Cesaro's buried. Ryder's as good as released at this point.
Ryder is the best example of it, because he actually made, like, an entire brand of himself on YouTube away from WWE. I think that's what fucking cost him, because then they realized, oh shit, this guy doesn't need us. But then, like, Cesaro, hot as shit, they didn't know how to follow up with it, so now he's doing jobs. Jack Swagger, they turned him face, he was getting huge reactions, didn't know how to react to that, didn't expect that to get over, so what do we do with him? Fuck, bury him.
Yeah. He could lose to Rusev. I'm gonna say now, Swagger or Cesaro should be the one to beat Rusev. Not John Cena. No. Not Roman Reigns. Not Seth Rollins. One of those two. Either Swagger as part of the All-American angle. And goddamn, they had a good angle going there for a little bit. And then they just kind of were like, now Rusev's going to go fuck over here and have matches with this guy.
Yeah. That's, again, just because it's like they had a plan for what to do with Swagger and didn't expect him to actually get a fan reaction. Yeah. So
it's so fucking terrible that WWE's response to we didn't expect this person to get a fan reaction is get him off TV now.
I wonder what would have happened if they did that 20 years ago when someone cut a little promo about Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Oh,
the guy who wasn't supposed to get over accidentally got over, and it's like, yeah, go back to that, run with it a bit, see where it takes you.
It's an eye-opening podcast to listen to. Anybody who was a fan of Punk's work or is just a fan of wrestling in general should really listen to it. It's one of those things where it's like, we've all heard stories about these conditions happening backstage, but this is the first time we've actually heard someone come out and be like, no, this is what's going on backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I see a lot of people, like, I know supposedly a lot of people in the locker room are like, oh, it's just sour grapes. Any one of us would have killed to have been in Punk's spot, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, but you aren't, because they're not letting you.
Well, those people, I think, are trying to save face for The Office.
Yeah.
Like, I would never turn on you, Vince.
Says Ryback.
But, and then, who was it? Mike Johnson on PW Insider wrote a really good article about, like, the thing that everyone should be talking about. Everyone's talking about he got fired on his wedding day and blah, 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 blah. But it's, like, the staff infection shit.
Yeah, the fucking... Oh my God.
And he lists other examples of this same kind of bullshit. Bob Holly, not making a joke, Bob Holly.
Legitimately Bob Holly, nearly lost his arm.
Almost
I read
lost
about
his
this.
Arm because he got a staph infection and they needed him, quote unquote, to work in Europe. I guess very similar to what they did to Punk. they needed him to be in battle royals and dark matches overseas for a couple weeks. Came back, almost lost his fucking arm due to a staph infection.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was told when he wanted to take time off to heal up his injuries and shit, was told if you could win the Olympics with a broken neck, you can fight through these injuries here. And so they kept him on the road.
I did read the Rene Dupree story the other day.
Oh, that's a new one. What's that one?
Oh, it's he mentioned it like just after the podcast. Let me look it up so I don't get any fact wrong. Basically, he had like a fucking terrible hematoma on his head after a match.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is like, it's basically just a bruise, but it looked worse than it felt and whatnot. So they, for fuck's sake, of course I can't find it now. I've fucking seen that story like 3 times over the past fucking week.
So of course now you can't find it.
Now I can't find it. Let's see, to tell you a story, you have to go back in time. Fall of 2005, Dupree was on the roster, singles competitor in SmackDown. He was heading home to Louisville, Kentucky, which was the site of OVW at the time, had a hematoma at the SmackDown taping. They gave him the night off. He said Michael Hayes came up to him and was like, hey, can you actually work? And he was like, I don't know. And went up to Stephanie and talked to her, and Stephanie gave him the night off. And after that show, he gets on a plane to Cincinnati, goes to the restroom, cabin pressure changes, so the hematoma explodes.
Oh, Jesus.
He's covered in blood. He said, it looks like I got shot in the head. He's wearing this white Gold's Gym shirt, and it's covered in blood.
Oh, fuck.
Triple H is on the same flight, and he's like, to Triple H's credit, he stayed with me the whole time, made sure that I was okay, and I got off the plane. But when the paramedics and the EMT said, you've got to go to the hospital now, you could die, and he's like, this is right after Chris Candido died from a blood clot in his leg. We're all pretty fucking worried, because I've got one in my temple.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I look over, and I see the trainer and the EMTs talking, and the trainer is looking at him and shaking his head no, because it would have cost the company too much money for them to divert to a hospital. So he boarded the connecting flight from Cincinnati to Louisville, flew to Louisville, and got the surgery from WWE-approved doctors.
Instead of just doing it in Kentucky?
Instead of just doing it, like, diverting right there and taking him to a hospital. Because they would have had to pay for one more plane ticket.
Wow. I did not hear that one.
Yeah.
And the other story that they mentioned in that article that I was talking about was Eddie Guerrero and people talking about right before he died how just tired and sick and beat up he was.
Yeah.
And then he fucking keels over. But yeah, wow, I didn't hear that one about Dupree.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Who is this fucking doctor and how is he still there?
I have to imagine he will be quietly released very soon.
I hope so.
With all these stories coming, as kind of a we better protect our own ass thing. Because if there's anything WWE knows how to do, it's protect their own ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, how has this guy been their doctor for this long without getting any sort of like malpractice slap?
Well, I don't think this was the doctor in Dupree's story, because he said he was talking to the trainer. They were on the flight, so it was probably someone different. But still, that there's still the company mentality of, oh, I just worked through the injuries and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's... No.
Yeah, it's not 1975, and you're not driving to the next town because you work in a little territory anymore. You're going on planes where there's pressure changes that cause blood clots.
Yeah.
You're cramped in a seat for 5 hours going on a coast-to-coast flight right after throwing your head into the fucking ground.
So the question that was proposed after all this too, somebody asked, so honestly, has your opinion of the WWE soured more in the past week?
Mine?
Anybody's. I honestly, this is how I responded to that. I was like, you know, I wrote a lot of, because it's been a shit product for months now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wrote a lot of this off as a lot of the guys that they were building the company around just injured like that. Funk left. Brian got injured. Reigns got injured. Even Cena was out for a few months with an injury there. I was like, I just kind of wrote it off as everything went downhill because of that, and the company still got it mostly together. I'm like, but then we're hearing about Punk's fucking staph infection and Rene Dupree's hematoma, and Vince McMahon goes on the network and buries the entire locker room after charging them $9.99 to see it. Charging the fans $9.99 to see it. Meanwhile, you've got guys like Rey Mysterio who are fighting tooth and fucking nail to get out of the company, and I'm like, I just don't know what to think about them anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, it's reached a point where it's like, something's not fucking right.
It is a very strange thing. Like, a lot of it, though, after listening to Vince's podcast is that I don't know how much he knows.
He is so fucking out of touch. That was the biggest pull away I got from that pod. He is so goddamn out of touch.
Yeah.
Like, between the Austin interview and all the shit Punk was saying on his podcast, it's like, he is way out of touch.
But it's like, I don't know that Vince is as aware as he should be about what everyone under him is doing. I don't think he's aware of what Triple H is doing, Stephanie, Kevin Dunn, the doctors, any of those people. I think he's just like, okay, they've been doing it for God knows how many years, or he's trained him himself. I'm sure that Triple H followed him around for months before getting the job that he has now.
Right.
So it's like, he trusts these people to do their job, and so he feels like he can be hands-off. But they're fucking his company up.
So it's quite the opposite. Everything I've read is that
Vance McMoon.
Vance McMoon, who is co-starring with Bend and Snap Cabbage Patch. God damn it. Vince is still incredibly hands-on and, like, refuses to let go.
He's like, I think he's at, he still does the TVs and everything. He still makes those rounds, but I just don't know that he doesn't, like I said, trust the people that he's put in these positions to do their job and kind of right. steps away and lets them do what they're going to do. Like the whole story about Kurt Angle wanting to come back and he calls Vince and Vince is like, no, that's Hunter's job now. I don't do that.
Yeah.
When he very easily could have just said, oh yeah, Kurt, come on in. I'll get you a meeting with Hunter and we'll get a contract signed because he owns the fucking company. He can pull rank like that. That's probably one of the best parts of the Austin interview is they go an hour. And Austin's like, okay, they're telling me we got 60 seconds left. And Vince starts wrapping up and everything. And Austin's like nodding his head, like, come on, hurry up, Vince. I got 20 seconds now. And Vince stops. Hold it. I own this network. We're going another 15 minutes.
Oh, WWE, what went wrong?
So, yeah, it's very strange. It's like, as a wrestling fan, I don't want to quit watching.
Right.
But it's making it very difficult to want to keep supporting a product that not only has just been bad on television, but has been bad ethically.
What if I told you they renamed the TLC pay-per-view? Would that make you stop watching?
What'd they rename it?
Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs.
What?
Tables, Ladders. Did you not hear the big gimmick match for Big Show and Eric Rowan?
Is it a stairs match?
It's a stairs match! Mike, I sent you a picture of the logo.
No.
I was like,
no!
Wow,
that's on WWE.com,
like,
that's official! No!
That's exactly my... I was like, that's a pretty solid Photoshop. And then I'm scrolling through the thread, and I'm like, are they talking like this thing is real? And then I go to the website, I'm like, oh, fuck. Eric Rowan and Big Show are having a stairs match.
Damn logo for the network schedule.
Yes, it is.
No.
I
have to see Kevin Steen. I have to see his face under this bullshit.
I am.
Kevin, run. Go back to Ring of Honor.
I remember.
Grab Pac and Kenta and Generico.
I remember 3-4 years ago. With the chairs match at TLC with Barrett and Cena, everybody was really like, the fuck is a chairs match? Is it a match where like chairs are legal and they had all the chairs like all over? You remember?
Is that the one where Cena like yanked down the set?
Yeah.
Buried
Wade Barrett under all those chairs after politely covering him with that big steel table.
Yeah.
That'll show you, Wade Barrett. And everybody's like, okay, I can't wait to hear this. What are the rules of a chairs match? And they're like, all weapons are legal, including chairs. And so it's a hardcore match? No, it's a chairs match.
It's a no-holds-barred match, yeah.
It's a chairs match.
Chairs match, because even chairs are legal. Well, wouldn't they be legal in a no-holds-barred match?
You just said everything's legal and there's no DQs. Yes, because it's a chairs match. What the fuck's the difference? Look at all these chairs. So now I'm thinking, I'm like, are they going to fucking come to the ring and there's just stairs everywhere? Just stairs. What the fuck is a stairs match, Mike?
Well, there are stairs in the corner.
Is it just like Big Show and Eric Rowan fumbling about until one of them can wander to the corner? And...
this is some fucking Vince Russo WCW bullshit. He had these matches. He had a mud fight match between two women where the goal was to start in the ring, work your way up the stage into a pit of mud, and then back to the ring for the pinfall.
It's so bad to hear them talk such shit about WCW and then turn around and do exactly what WCW did. It just reaches this point where it's like, what are they thinking? Couldn't do anything that was established. Couldn't put, like, Big Show and Rowan in, I don't know, a cage match, a strap match. A tables match with those two would probably make sense. A stairs match?
But to change the name of the fucking show.
Yeah, and that's where I'm like, but why then? Is that what's going to be called from now on?
They're just going to, every year, they're going to tack on another gimmick. Maybe tables, ladders, and chairs, and stairs, and cages.
Welcome to the WWE tables, ladders, chairs, stairs, kendo sticks, cages, cinder blocks.
Fucking chainsaws.
Chainsaws, bra and panties, mud pit, lion's den, hell in a cell, elimination chamber, rumble, 2020.
Featuring
Hulk Hogan and John Cena.
Hoagie Pogie.
In a Yappa Pie strap match.
I want to see Hoagie Pogie and John Cena in an Apple Pie strap match.
Oh, you guys! So Mike, I ask again, has your opinion soured of the WWE now? Just think, TNA is on their way to Destination America!
TNA is on their way to Destination America, and... WWE is headed into the Royal Rumble.
Hey, at least
I'm gonna hold out hope. I'm gonna hold out so much goddamn hope that something, anything fucking turns around by Royal Rumble.
I just want to know which writer was backstage and said, hey, you know what? Stairs match.
This pay-per-view isn't even happening. It's not real.
Here's the weirdest
thing,
man.
The next pay-per-view is Royal Rumble.
They gave away Survivor Series for free, and to compensate, they had to not do TLC. So weird.
This show doesn't happen. The next pay-per-view is fucking NXT Revolution.
Yeah.
Which can't be bad, because it's NXT.
Kenta Devitt stairs match.
You shut your fucking mouth.
You know what, though? If Kenta and Finn Balor did a stairs match?
They would tell me Finn Balor versus The Ascension in a stairs match.
It would probably be fucking awesome. Because they would probably, like, pile all the stairs up in some, like, ridiculous fucking stack, and then somebody would do, like, a big flippy fucking leg drop off the top of it.
Balor would just do his, like, 2-foot stomp right in the middle of Connor's chest.
Right off the top of, eight stairs? Yeah,
from 9 feet up.
Connor isn't seen for like a year.
He was just about to make his main roster debut. The Ascension is the new Sting. I've been hearing for 10 fucking years that the Ascension is going to come up to the main roster.
Just wait till the Ascension come out, managed by Sting.
You said it would never happen.
Oh my god. Wonder when Sting's coming back. I kind of feel like that's what's going on. They're like, we just debuted Sting, Rumble's coming up. We can take it easy for December. Yeah. Right, guys? Just phoning it in for December.
Oh, how'd you like the involvement of the anonymous general manager on Raw?
All 30 seconds on
Yeah.
It? Ironically, that backfired terribly because that Raw posted the lowest ratings they've had in a very long time.
Well, yeah, everyone saw the week before and saw that the anonymous general manager was back, and they're like, fuck this, we're not watching that episode.
Well, that was a combination of factors, because I know, like, I tuned in, my thinking was, I gotta see the fallout from Sting. And it was like, nothing. I was like, man, could it get worse than not doing anything with Sting the night after he debuted? And they went, look, it's the anonymous general manager, and just done. No, done. I didn't even... like, I napped, and I woke up, and I DVR'd Raw, and I fast-forwarded through everything that seemed unimportant to me, and I watched Raw in about 45 minutes. I even, like, I hit the main event, and I was like, oh, I saw this at the beginning already. I'm like, I'm going through and I stomp. I'm like, oh, the Bellas and AJ, maybe they'll do something. Oh, it's a recap. Oh, is that the Big Show? Well, maybe he's going to, oh, does he have a microphone? Skip. If it's just Big Show, it's like, maybe I'll wait and see what happens. Big Show's coming to the ring with a microphone? I'm like, skip. Then Eric Rowan comes to the ring with a microphone, and I'm like, I made the right decision here. And unfortunately, I guess I missed them announcing their stairs.
I apparently did too. Fuck, I didn't hear that until you just told me and ruined my entire night.
You thought you were possibly a child abuser 24 hours ago, and this was worse news.
I knew I wasn't a child abuser. I certainly wasn't a child abuser in a town I've never been in.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Positive?
I don't drink, so unless somebody slipped me something 10 years ago.
Oh, man. Matt's like, oh, Mike, right, by the way.
Forgot to tell you about a thing.
Remember that one time, and you just went for a drive 10 years ago and kind of blacked out a little bit?
No, I don't remember, because I blacked out.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm gonna just gonna stop it right there before it goes any further.
Tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
Oh my. No, nothing.
If I facepalm any harder, my hand will go through my head.
Careful, you look like Rene Dupree.
Heyo.
Heyo. Thanks for listening. Go listen to Punk's Art of Wrestling interviews if you haven't yet. They're really good. I really enjoyed it. And contrary to what a lot of people are saying, I don't think he sounded necessarily bitter or sour grapes. I think he sounded like a guy who really loved something, and it really took its toll on him, and he got it off his chest, finally.
He really loved something that did everything in its power to make him hate it.
He really loved something that tried really hard to kill him, and almost did it. I know it's terrible, but the staph infection story is great. Like, if he had died, it would be like, that's a terrible story, but he didn't, so I think it's a pretty great story. It's one of those things he'll be telling at parties. Just kidding. Punk doesn't go to parties.
Hey, everybody, gather around. I'm going to tell the time that an undiagnosed staph infection shot gunk up to the ceiling of my doctor's office.
When, during the second one, when he was like, yeah, I haven't watched wrestling in 3 years. I was like, ah, suck it, Mike. And then he was like, I mean, I flip over for Apes matches. Yeah. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, I told you. I told you that he'd stop to at least watch AJ's stuff.
He just likes to watch her wiggle around in the ring. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I can't blame him.
Of course you can. Join us next week for, oh, fuck, what number was this?
It was 48.
I didn't even have notes. I was like, we're going to talk movies and CM Punk. I don't need notes for this. Yeah, this was, thanks for listening to number 48. Join us next week where we will probably talk more about wrestling, and maybe we'll even have some new news on Dangle Rack Snuggle Snatch being cast as Doctor Strange. That one wasn't as good?
No.
No.
Well, maybe it was. I'm so mad. I'm still so angry about this pay-per-view.
Snorkel Dink Cottage Cheese.
All right, that one got me.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go watch Mike struggle through MK Special Forces.
Yes, and watch our Mortal Kombat this week, because something happens, like Marvel teaches us, stay after the credits.
Wink. Winky wink wink. It will probably not be on my channel today because I have life things that have come up, but it will probably be on my channel Saturday sometime. Go watch it on Mike's channel, and then hopefully I will also have a new Amazing Spider-Man up Tuesday, and I'm working on a second Let's Play to run at the same time.
What?
It's a secret to everyone, because nobody cares. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.